Ours to Protect. Brought to you by Sunshine 106.8. And the IBI is funded by Cumashun na Mban with the television license fee. Check out ourstoprotect.ie for more info.
Good morning, I'm Carol Dooley. You're very welcome to join me now for another edition of Ours to Protect, our monthly series on climate change and climate action. This morning we'll hear from Elaine Nevin from Eco-UNESCO, Ireland's leading environmental education and youth organisation, about the Young Environmental Awards. Registration is now officially open. But first, recent data shows that every household in Ireland is responsible for between 117 and 120 kilograms of food waste, which equates to between 400 and 1,000 euros per year, literally thrown into the bin. Of course, this isn't just a waste of money, it's also highly detrimental to the planet. Shortly, Dr. Joanne Rourke from My Waste will advise on how to manage our waste more responsibly and efficiently. But first, Sunshine's Jane McNamara recently spoke to Dublin students about how waste is managed or mismanaged in their homes and schools.
When it comes to protecting the planet, the small things we do at home can make a big difference. But how easy is it for young people to stick to a recycling system at home? And do they think it works? I went out to ask them.
We do the return scheme with our bottles and we have a recycling bin.
We do all the same. We also have a compost bin and we do the return.
I have one recycling bin, one bin for dirty stuff and then a compost bin.
Yeah, we have that at home. We have like the space for recycling and it's the same in school. It's kind of easy, just sometimes like the stuff isn't clean or dry so you can't put in the recycling.
Yeah, I have all three bins. All the paper goes in the recycling and then all the food in the brown and whatever's left over goes into the black bin, I guess. If I can't find one, I'll just put it in whatever bin there is, but most of the time I'd look for the right ones. I'd say we're not great. I'm 17.
Any plastics, soft plastics, cardboard and everything, they all go into the green bin. And we try to avoid using the general waste bin as much as possible. And then we also have the compost bin as well for general stuff like that. We try to reuse as many water bottles as we can and reduce any things that are pretty tough to recycle.
Yeah, honestly, I just have two separate bins. Actually three. One for just like cardboard and like plastic and all that. One for food and then the other for any other sort of waste, yeah. I've been doing it my whole life, so now it's like second nature, I guess.
Does your family at home recycle, and what is your system like?
Well, we have a green bin. We put the recycling in that. We also have a compost heap out back, and obviously a brown bin as well, for things that are too big for the compost heap.
And how do you find that system? Do you find it easy to follow, or...?
It's fairly easy. Just make sure to wash the recycling before putting it in, and try to minimise the amount of waste going into the general waste bin.
I've got two bins, just general kind of rubbish, then recycling, then a compost heap, and then a separate kind of bag for like cans that, you know, my parents root through the bins to like kind of collect from. That's kind of about the system. Very easy to follow, understand. In school, well, we've just developed the kind of return scheme. We've got a bunch of new bins that have just come in for specifically for bottles, which I think is pretty cool. It was like a program run by the TYs.
At home, honestly, it's not very good. We try our best to do it with the two bins, but when we're tired, it doesn't really happen.
It's just we might put it in the wrong bin.
At home, it's quite good. We have separate bins inside, and then we will bring out the green bin outside and put it into the big green bin to recycle. And we'll like clean the like pots and stuff before we put it in. And then in school, we have a paper bin and a general waste bin everywhere.
That was young people sharing their take on recycling at home.
Sunshine's Jane McNamara. Now, earlier this week, I spoke with Dr. Joanne Rourke from My Waste to find out more about why and where we're going wrong and what we can do to resolve the issues. And I began by asking her to give us an overview of My Waste and the services that My Waste actually provides.
Sure. So mywaste.ie is Ireland's official guide to waste. It is funded by the Department of the Environment and it is managed by the Regional Waste Management Planning Offices. My Waste has many functions. So we have an A to Z on there so people can go and check to see what item should go in what bin and what way they can dispose of different items. And we also have a lot of resources on there for both households and business toolkits, for instance, to help householders and businesses and indeed sports clubs to segregate their waste and help their staff and their members and their families to segregate their waste properly.
Are we getting better at putting the right thing in the right bin, at basically disposing of our waste the correct way? Or do we still have, and I would suspect the answer is we still have some way to go, but you'll tell us that.
We do have some way to go. The research that we've done has shown us that people are more aware now of the importance of segregating waste, and the intention is certainly there to do it properly, but there is still an intention action gap. So what the intention action gap means, that people might intend to do it properly, but when it actually comes to doing it day to day, we still have a long way to go. So the Environmental Protection Agency did a waste characterization study in 2022, and that's just where they looked at both business waste and household waste to see if we were segregating it properly. So they looked at the general waste bin, the recycling bin, and the food waste bin to see how we were getting on. And what they found was that 2/3 of what is in the general waste bin could actually have been composted or recycled. So that means, you know, a good bit of what we're putting in our general waste bin should actually be in our food waste bin or our recycling bin. And the problem with that isn't so much the environmental issue, if you like, the pollution issue, because these days that waste is actually processed before it goes to landfill, and actually most of it goes to incineration. The big problem with this is that we're actually missing out on a lot of resources that we could be recycling or composting. So we're missing a trick, really, by putting it into our general waste bin.
And why are we doing that? Is it a case that we're too busy? Are we too lazy? Do we not have room for the bins? Because let's face it, if you're living in a small apartment, you probably don't have room for 3 bins.
Well, probably all of the above. So taking those, they're 2 separate issues, if you like. So we have found from our research that people are, yes, sometimes lazy. Sometimes they're just busy and life gets in the way. You're standing there trying to get kids out to school in the morning and you're wondering, you know, you just throw it in the first bin that you come to. So we ask people to stop and think about it, because it is important. It's not the most exciting thing in the world. It probably doesn't seem like the most important thing in the world when you're, you know, trying to find shoes and school bags in the morning, but it is really important. On the apartments, that can be an issue. If a kitchen is very small, people mightn't have enough bins, but I suppose you can get bins that will suit that will help that situation. I've seen one that's almost like a little tower where your general waste bin is like a little tower with drawers in it, and you have your general waste bin, your recycling bin, and your food bin. So I suppose in that instance, you are running up and down a bit more often to do your recycling and your food waste, but it's something we do have to do.
Okay. Can you talk us through then where we're going wrong and what we should be putting where? Really?
Okay. I mean, do you want to throw a few examples? Roughly speaking,
I think this is where people get confused. Say, for instance, with food waste and general waste, what goes where?
Well, I think food waste is the easy one. Okay, so any of your cooked food, uncooked food, peelings from your vegetables can go into your food waste bin. On top of that, things like kitchen paper and napkins that are food soiled. Obviously, if you've used them to wipe up a antibacterial spray or something like that, they're not suitable for the food waste
bin. And I think this
is
where people get confused, don't they?
It is. It is more complex, I think, than we realise.
Because I think a lot of people would have maybe assumed that even if you have, say, some kitchen paper with some food waste on it, that it would just go into the general waste because it's not food.
Yes,
primarily.
Exactly. And you can see why they presume that. But actually, that kind of kitchen paper is compostable. It's just paper. That can go into your food waste bin.
Where else might we be making similar mistakes?
Okay, well, sometimes things end up in the food waste bin by accident. So let's say you buy a bunch of spring onions and they're held together by an elastic band, and then you're, you know, getting them ready to put on your salad and you're chopping the little tops off. That material could get mixed up with your elastic band. You just throw the whole lot into your kitchen caddy. So it's things like that, to just be mindful of where you're putting things. Obviously, that elastic band should have gone into the general waste bin. Also, sometimes people think because it's a food waste bin, you can put like a whole yogurt in there in the yogurt pot.
But you can't.
You can't put food packaging into your food waste bin. You have to take the food out of the packaging.
And then you put the packaging into the general waste. Or recyclable.
So let's say it's a yogurt, for instance. So, and it's gone off. You just take the lid off, you scoop out all the yogurt, put it into your food waste bin, give it a good rinse out and dry it with a tea towel. It's easy to dry something like a yogurt pot. You can get in there. And then you pop that into your recycling bin.
How important is it, Joanne, that we do clean the utensils or the glass jars or the whatever that the food has been in? And particularly, say, maybe if we're going to a recycling facility, you know, we all go perhaps at the end of the weekend and we bring our glass and our cans that we might have used over the weekend. How important is it that we make sure that they're absolutely clean?
So with something like glass, as long as you give it a little rinse, it's fine to go into your bring bank. But with something like plastic bottles or aluminium, whether they're going into your recycling bin at home or into the return.ie machine in the shop, they need to be pretty clean. And the reason for that is things like your plastic bottles or containers or aluminium cans, whether they're going into your recycling bin at home or whether you're putting them into a return.ie machine in the shop, they need to be clean, dry and loose. And the reason for that is if there's any food remnants in there or even any water, that will get on other items in there and it will contaminate the material. It has to be pretty clean to be recycled properly. One common item that often confuses people is spray bottles, cleaning bottles. So with something like that, because it is composite, it's a mixture of materials. Often the spraying mechanism might have, a lot of them are plastic now completely, but sometimes they might have a little metal spring or something like that. So what we would advise in that situation is that you take off the top and that whole mechanism, you clean your bottle and you put it into your recycling bin, and then you take the spraying mechanism and that goes in your general waste bin if it's something that has a mixture of metal and plastic.
All right, so I think it's just a matter of maybe educating ourselves. I
mean, very much so.
That's where it can all become quite challenging.
It can be very confusing. And we always say to people, if you're confused, just get on your phone, look up mywaste.ie. We have an A to Z on there. And any item that you're confused about, you just type it in and it will tell you
where to dispose of it, which is fantastic.
And yes. And if you have something that's, you know, particularly unusual and it doesn't happen to be in our A to Z, well, then you can contact us either by email or through our social media and we will find the answer for you and let you know.
Do you think there's enough education out there with regards to the repercussions of not actually disposing of our waste in the correct way?
You know, we there's carrot and stick, and we really take the carrot approach to this. So our approach really is let people know what's the correct thing to do. We want them to want to do the correct thing and to show them really that it is quite easy with just a little bit of thought, sometimes a tiny bit of research on mywaste.ie, but that they can do it properly. And we want to give people the confidence to do that.
One more question for you, because I understand, and I'm trying to get my head around this, because the irony is not lost on me, considering that young people are really driving climate action.
Yes.
But they seem to be the one cohort when it comes to waste that they're actually not stepping up to the table. Is that true?
That's true. And it is surprising, because as part of our research, we looked at that. We looked at the different demographics and we found that the over 55s are really good at recycling. The 30s, people in the 30s and 40s are mostly good. I suppose they're the generation who are very, very busy with small kids and jobs and everything else, you know. So sometimes life gets in the way for them. But we have found that the 18 to 24-year-olds can be, well, lacking in this area, which is a pity. But I'm not sure why that is. Yeah. Maybe we are competing for their attention, I suppose, with a lot of other things out there. So, we are now using things like TikTok and Instagram in our communication. So we're hoping
that trying to get that message through. Yeah. Well, good luck. Because we all have to play, we all have to do our bit, don't we?
We do. And actually, in a recent campaign we ran, the Take a Minute Before You Bin It campaign, we gamified the whole idea of waste segregation. And we had a little game up there. We worked with a company called Bull Donut. So we had a little waste game. It's still up there actually on our website. And you can actually go and play it on your phone or on your laptop, and it will help you to learn what goes in what bin.
Lovely. Well, Joanne, if anybody wants to find out more information about any of this, all the information is on mywaste.ie, I'm assuming.
Yes, all the information is on mywaste.ie, and there's lots of resources up there as well. We have a commercial waste toolkit, we have a sports toolkit, and they are for workplaces and sports clubs to help their staff and members to segregate properly.
Okay, lovely. All right. Well, Joanne, Dr. Joanne Rourke, who is the Resource Efficiency Officer at My Waste, thank you very much for taking the time to come and chat with us this week. Very interesting conversation. Dr. Joanne Rourke from My Waste, who I spoke with earlier this week. This is Sunshine 106.8, Dublin's easy place to relax. And you're listening to Hours to Protect, our monthly series on climate change and climate action. I'm Carol Dooley. And still to come, Elaine Nevin, who is the National Director at Ireland's leading environmental education and youth organisation, Eco-UNESCO, will tell us about the Young Environmentalist Awards, registration now officially open. And she'll discuss how these awards support youth-led projects that address some of the most pressing environmental challenges of our time.
Hours to Protect, brought to you by Sunshine 106.8, and the IBI is funded by Cumashun na Mban with the television licence fee. Check out hourstoprotect.ie for more info.
I'm Carol Dooley. Thank you for joining me this morning. Very shortly, I'll be speaking with Elaine Nevin from Eco-UNESCO, Ireland's leading environmental education and youth organisation, which is inviting young environmentalists from Dublin to take part in the Young Environmentalist Awards 2025-26. But first, Sunshine's Jane McNamara recently spoke to some Dublin students and asked them if they were given total responsibility for protecting the future of the planet, where first would their priorities lie?
If you handed the future of the environment over to young people, what would they change first? From recycling to energy to protecting wildlife, I asked them what they'd do if they were in charge.
I would say probably plastic is the biggest problem. Pollution, I would say, is the biggest problem that I'd focus on.
I'd say the oceans I'd focus on, because they seem to be quite dirty at the moment.
Probably encourage more people to avoid littering. That's the first thing I'd do. Whenever you see these cans and stuff to be used, taking it home could be a good start instead of throwing it on the street, because, I mean, that's 15 cent to 30 cent extra in your pocket, you know what I mean? Picking up any trash on the street, like I said, that's also really helpful because, I mean, you don't want to hurt any animals.
What you're doing right now is actually pretty good with the 15 cent and 30 cent bottle deposit thing. I think it's encouraging a lot more people to litter less. I've honestly seen less litter now than ever before. Probably encourage that, or like encourage like solar power, maybe like put government spending into that and stuff like that. Yeah.
I don't really know, but like maybe there could be like you have to do like mandatory litter picking or something, because I don't know, like keep it out of the oceans.
I think focusing a lot on just habitats and restoring fens and bogs and such stuff like that. Because my parents work in Natural Parks and Wildlife Service, NPWS. And, so that's what they do. So I think I'd focus on stuff like that.
Reduce the production and maybe find an alternative that will replace the harmful plastics.
If you were in charge of the environment, what decisions would you make or changes would you make to improve things?
I think it's kind of unfair to place the responsibility of cleaning up the environment on the consumer. And I think it's more important to like more heavily regulate the activities of companies rather than the individual, as they're, you know, the people that have the big impacts, like the big sway in, you know, our environment.
I'd focus on going more like air pollution, so going electric on more things. I think that's what I'd focus on.
Yeah, electric cars, I think they need to encourage them a bit more. There's like they should do like lower insurance or lower tax or something to encourage the electric cars.
That was young people sharing their big ideas on how to protect the environment.
Sunshine's Jane McNamara. Well, we're joined now by Elaine Nevin, National Director at Eco-UNESCO, to talk about the Young Environmentalist Awards, helping and encouraging young people to bring their ideas to life. Elaine, thank you very much for taking the time to chat with us this morning. You've just wrapped up yesterday, in fact, Eco Week, which I trust was a very successful and very good week for you.
Yeah, so it's been a fantastic week. This has been, I think, the fourth or fifth time that we've run Eco Week. And of course, we're running it through the Sustainable Development Goals Week, which is the European and an Irish initiative, which is trying to raise awareness of these United Nations Sustainable Development Goals. So we ran workshops and seminars and information sessions on a whole range of environmental issues for primary and secondary school children and young people. It was a really great week.
Good. Yeah. Delighted to hear it. So it doesn't stop now, though, because it's the time for the Young Environmentalist Awards, and the registration is opening right now for these awards, and they're quite prestigious awards too, aren't they?
Yeah, definitely, and I suppose they've been around for a long time. So Eco-UNESCO established the awards in 1999, and we're an environmental education and youth organisation, so of course all the work that we do is about raising awareness of environmental issues with young people all over the island of Ireland. So the Young Environmentalist Awards were thought up, I suppose, all the way back in 1999 because we wanted an opportunity to recognise and reward the work of young people and the work that they were doing specifically around environmental awareness and around environmental protection. So we established Young Environmentalist Awards, and then we held our first Young Environmentalist Awards ceremony in the year 2000, and actually President Mary McAleese was actually at the very first Young Environmentalist Awards.
And they've been getting bigger and better
ever since. And of course we had President Michael D. Higgins was at them, I think in 2013, and it's really important that we have people like our presidents attending. We've had former President Mary Robinson also presenting awards, as well as ministers and high profile people from UNESCO actually over as well to present awards. So those people are there to recognise, as we said, and reward the work that young people are doing. You know, Young Environmentalist Awards is all about groups of young people coming together to take action at a local level on environmental issues that they're interested in or they're concerned about. And so it provides an opportunity for them to channel all that enthusiasm and that creativity and the passion that they have and the interest that they have into something positive at that local level. Okay. That's what it really is about. Now,
is this something that is done primarily through schools, or does it include, say, schools, youth clubs, maybe individual students, or how does that all work?
From Eco-UNESCO's perspective, we work mainly with young people aged 10 to 25, but our Young Environmentalist Awards is open to young people aged 10 to 18. And we always say we work with young people where they're at. And so what does that mean? Well, it means that a lot of the time they're in school. So yes, we work through the school system, but we also work out of school system. We'll also work with young people who are involved in youth clubs or youth groups, youth reach centres, or with community groups. So really anywhere that there are groups of young people who are coming together, they can basically participate and get involved with the Young Environmentalist Awards programme. We do get a lot of entries coming from schools, and in particular, I suppose, coming from the Transition Year programme in secondary school in the Republic of Ireland, because of course this programme is also open to groups and schools in Northern Ireland. But within the Republic of Ireland, we would have a lot of groups from Transition Year, but then also within the junior cycle, things like CSPE or even religious studies, or if they have clubs, they also do action project work through that. And then with the younger ones, which is the 10 to 12 year olds, we have a super junior category that's mainly fifth to sixth class in primary school. And so with our age ranges, as I mentioned, the super juniors 10 to 12s, the juniors are 12 to about 14, and then the seniors is 15 to 18. And so they're all, I suppose, adjudicated in different ways as well.
Can you give us an idea, therefore, just looking at past awards and what the awards were actually given for? So what types of projects were students submitting?
Yeah, so the Young Environmentalist Awards has a very broad range of categories: climate, biodiversity, energy, waste, water. But then we'd also have categories like eco-community development, eco-innovation, eco-enterprise, and then we'd have things like eco-art and design as well. So it's really trying to bring young people from many different perspectives and from their own perspectives and their own interests. So you might have groups of young people who are really interested in the art and design side of things, and they're saying, okay, we want to do something on fast fashion, and we want to do a fashion show, and we want to get all our friends involved in that, and we actually want to make some clothes. So we've had projects where they've done all of those things. We've had projects where they've created whole nature trails trials in their own local areas. And they've done that with interpretive information boards and then brought some of their peers and their younger groups out on walks and talks of the area. And they've done projects like that.
So it's really up to the students to decide
what they want to do. Exactly, yeah. So this is not a prescriptive programme or award scheme. This is really about young people identifying an issue that's of interest or concern to them in their local area and saying, hey, is there something we can do about this? You know, so there's a whole range of different projects. We've had, as I say, we've had climate apps being created as well, coming in with more kind of the technological side. Seedling swaps, where they've basically done swapping seeds, you know, like a seed swap library within the school. We've had one group last year who was one of the winners, and they went out, identified in their local town all the businesses, and then did kind of assessments of the business and gave them little marks in terms of from a sustainability perspective.
Excellent.
Yeah, so that was really fantastic as well. Yeah. So really it's about, you know, the young people kind of coming up with the ideas themselves and then coming up with some sort of an action that they can take, and then raising awareness, but being as creative and as innovative as possible, really. Yeah.
And when it comes to the judging then, I'm assuming that there's a lot of criteria that have to be fulfilled.
Yeah, so we have a very robust, I suppose, judging process within the Young Environmentalist Awards. We would have a whole set of criteria that the project submissions would need to go through. We assess based on those criteria, and all of the groups will know what the criteria are. So within the submission form, they will have to, you know, they will understand that these are the different steps. So generally, within the steps, we want to know, for example, how the group came together. And Young Environmentalist Awards is a group project, so we don't accept individual entries. Really, that's because we think that groups of young people can learn so much from each other, from a team and a communications perspective. But then also we want to know how they selected the issue, that they came up with the idea themselves. Obviously they get support from their mentors and the Young Environmentalist Awards mentors who are teachers and leaders, but that it's not them giving the project idea, that the young people are coming up with the idea themselves. So we like to know how they came up with the idea, where they got the research from, did they find it from trusted research sources, how they planned their project, did they think about the short-term, medium-term, long-term goals, had they thought about the timeline maybe for the project, how they met, and so they're learning through all of this as well, right, keeping minutes from meetings and stuff like that. We want then to know what action they took. So really for us, action project and the action piece is so important. You know, research is important, but the action is the core element of what we do in Young Environmentalist Awards. Raising awareness then, not that they keep the project to themselves, great that they do it in the group, but then we want them to tell others about it. Raising awareness within their peers, their community, their school, and then also in the media, whether that be their local media or it could be national media, getting onto TV if they could, or getting onto the local radio stations. And obviously local radio is really important, as well as social media, of course. And then the reflection pieces is where they look at what they've learned from an environmental and a skills perspective. Right. And that's the criteria, basically.
OK, yeah. So the registrations are open now. So when does your application have to be in?
Yeah, so anyone who's interested, just get your registrations into us by the end of November. You know, if you've got a group or if you have a project idea already, just get it into us. Don't worry about having to change maybe the idea for the project or the names of the people that are there. That can all be amended. So for us, it's just about getting the registrations in. You can then access all of the supports that we have, YEA mentor sessions, training. We've got resources and handbooks and all of that, and a hotline so you can ring up and people will be there to help you. So just register. And then the project itself has to be into us by the end of February of 2026. And then we will have these eco-dens, which are regional judging sessions that we have around the country, and we have a host around 9 of those every year, but we'll be hosting some in Dublin and then around the country, and that's where the young people come in and pitch their projects to a panel of experts, and it's always a really fun day for everyone. Excuse me. And then we have the showcase and awards ceremony, which takes place in May, and that'll be over 1,000 young people coming together showcasing probably over 110 projects, and them kind of, we always say a boutique kind of, I won't say young scientists, but a kind of exhibition where they exhibit, and there's workshops and a great and an award ceremony.
And then
as well.
Is there one overall winner, or are there a number of awards?
Yeah, we've a number of awards. So in each of the thematic categories, so waste, energy, climate, biodiversity, water, all of those different thematic categories, we'll have a junior and a senior winner in each of those. Then we also select an overall junior and an overall senior winner, and then we also select an overall super junior winner. The super junior winner listeners are the 10 to 12 year olds. The Young Environmentalist Awards, initially when it started, it was primarily a 12 to 18 year old kind of age group, that teenagers, but we were getting projects in and interest from the younger groups. And so we established a super junior category. So there is a whole range of categories and a whole range of awards that we actually give. We have a People's Choice Award as well, where the public can vote on their favourite project. We'd have special awards in the local to global category, so projects that are looking at maybe a bigger picture, a global perspective, or looking at a more of a initiatives that are linked to the Global South. And we'd have also things like Further Growth Awards, which are projects that may have come into us 1 year and that you've actually done something more in the following year. They're Further Growth Awards. Okay. So there's a whole range of opportunities actually to be awarded on the day.
So if anybody wants any more information and to find out more about the awards, what's needed for the application process, I'm going to assume it's all on your website.
It's all on the website. Yeah. So it's all on ecounesco.ie, that's ecounesco.ie or yea.ie. All the resource packs are there, finalist booklets that we create every year, and you can get inspiration from all of those. And we've developed more resources under different thematic areas as well. So there's loads of information there.
Excellent. Well, congratulations to you and your team. I mean, these awards sound absolutely fantastic, not only very informative, but also, I would suspect, a lot of fun for the students to be involved with as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
It ticks so many boxes on so many levels. Elaine Nevin, who's the National Director at EcoUNESCO, thank you very much for joining us this morning.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
And that wraps up this edition of Hours to Protect. I'm Carol Dooley. Thank you to our guests this morning. Thank you for listening. And a reminder, if you would like to find out more about the Hours to Protect initiative and indeed listen back to any of our previous episodes, you can do so on the Hours to Protect website, hourstoprotect.ie, and on the Sunshine Radio website too. That's sunshineradio.ie.
Hours to Protect, brought to you by Sunshine 106.8, and the IBI is funded by Cumashun na Mban with the television license fee. Check out hourstoprotect.ie for more info.